Okay, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us, and we dedicate the learning this morning in memory of Mr. Ira Lulinsky, Zichrono Livracha, and may our learning of Torah be a schus l'ilui nishmaso. We want to thank the Feder and Strulowitz families. Today is the yard site of Mr. Lulinsky, who was a partisan fighting against the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, and then a real upstanding member of the Elizabeth community, together with his father, Zichrono Livracha. So it's a schus that our learning of Torah should be a merit, the Ilui Nishmaso, especially today where we learn all about the Karban Pesach, which is the great display of unity and devotion of the Jewish people to Hashem. So we're on the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis. We're dealing with the topic of the prohibition that the Torah has of Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi. The Torah declares you may not slaughter the blood of my sacrifice while you possess chametz. The Mishnah said, Hashochet es ha-pesach al ha-chametz, if somebody slaughters the Karban Pesach on the chametz. We saw in the Gemara two explanations, whether it means owning chametz or actually having the chametz that you own with you in the Beis HaMikdash after Chatzos on the middle of the day of Erev Pesach. You violate a lotase. Rabbi Yehuda says that this lotase is not just about the Pesach. It's even applied to the Karban Tamid. And Rabbi Shimon says, Pesach on Erev Pesach brought as a Karban Pesach, there would be the violation of Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi. But if you slaughtered it on Erev Pesach, Shelo L'Shem Pesach, for some other Karban, so it's disqualified, it's a Shechita Sheina Ru'uya, it's not a kosher Shechita, so then you would be exempt from this law of Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi. However, all other Karbanos on Erev Pesach, you would be exempt. But during Pesach itself, then if you slaughter the Karban Pesach, the Shem Pesach, so it's disqualified, you would not violate Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi. But if you slaughtered it Shelo L'Shmo, it's a kosher Karban, and you're owning Chametz on Pesach, you'd be violating this prohibition of Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi, and all other Karbanos, whether L'Shma or Shelo L'Shma, since it is a kosher Karban, you would be violating Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi, with the exception being Karban Chatzas, because Karban Chatzas, Shechtet Shelo L'Shma, is not a kosher Karban, so then you wouldn't violate Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi if you slaughtered a Karban Chatzas during Pesach while possessing Chametz. So that was the Mishnah. We are now on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. So the Gemara, let's start over here. Amar Rav Papa, it's two lines up in the narrow lines. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, Hilkach, therefore, Kohen Amakdir Es HaChelev, if a Kohen were to offer the fat of the Karban Pesach while owning Chametz, that would also be a violation of this law of Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi, because Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi is compared to Lo Yalin Chelev Chagi Ad Boker. It's compared to the prohibition of leaving things over till the morning. And since with Chelev, with the fat, there's a prohibition of leaving it till the morning, therefore with the fat, there would be the prohibition of, it's also included in this prohibition of don't offer it while possessing Chametz. Therefore, Koina Makdis HaChelev over below Saseh, Ho V'yeshlo B'chlal Halanas Emurim, because in this pasuk, with the fat, of course, you have the law of Lo Yalin Chelev Chagi Ad Boker. Tanya Kavasad Rav Papa, and we learned in a brisa to support Rav Papa. We learned, Hashochet es ha-pesach al ha-chametz. Somebody slaughters Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach while he's owning chametz, which is illegal, because, of course, on Erev Pesach, you have to get rid of the chametz, as the pasuk says, Ach ba-yom rishon tashbisus o mibateichem. So if he's doing this illegal thing of slaughtering the Karban Pesach while possessing chametz over below tase, he violates the prohibition of Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi. When is this true? When the person owning the chametz either does the slaughtering or the throwing of the blood. Or any of the owners of the Karban Pesach, any of those who participate in the purchase of the Karban Pesach, they own the chametz. However, if somebody else in the world owns chametz, that ain't zaka klo. That doesn't affect you, the owner of this Karban Pesach, or the one doing the shchitza of the Karban Pesach. This law applies, echad ha-shochet, both for the guy slaughtering, echad ha-zorek, and the one throwing the blood, the echad ha-maktir, and the one throwing the fats into the fire, any of those people who are doing it. Wow. They own chametz, or while the bnei chabura, the owners of the carbon, own chametz, they violate this law of the tishan al chametz. Tam zivchi chayav, they get lashes. Right. Yes.
It's entirely counterintuitive to think that somebody who's slaughtering the carbon pesach will have chametz, or is in possession of chametz at that point.
You're asking why would somebody own chametz then?
Why the world would be focused on it in terms of it would be very unlikely, it would be very, very remote, it seems.
All right, but even, I don't know, maybe people are lazy, they didn't get rid of their chametz, they're waiting. So they have a prohibition. All right, so till now we're talking about karbanos of animals. What about if, let's say, you have a karban of a bird and you're doing malika? So this price says, now, why would you ever be doing malika on Erev Pesach in the afternoon? So we saw this already a couple days ago, that even though generally we have a law of hashlama, you're not allowed to offer karbanos after the karban tamid of the afternoon. All the karbanos have to be part of the karban tamid of the morning. But nevertheless, let's say you have a situation of a mitzora who can't eat Karban Pesach because he's a mitzora, because he's tamei, and he forgot to bring his karbanos in the morning. So then, he can bring his karbanos sa'ov. He can bring his, if he's poor, he can bring his chata sa'ov in the afternoon. So, hamolik es sa'ov ba'arba asar. So if you're bringing a bird as a karban, the thing to do on it is malika, not to slaughter it, but to do malika, to sever its head with the thumb of the kohen. If somebody does malika on the bird in the afternoon, so let's say he's doing it, and he's doing it while he owns chametz, and over below klum, he's not included in this prohibition, there is no prohibition. So the prohibition only applies to shchita. It says, lo sishchad al chametz, included also is zrika, throwing of the blood, but not malika, not severing the head of a bird. That's what Brisa number one says. But now we have a contradiction with Brisa number two. Says the Gemara, I'll challenge you with a contradiction. Price number two says, Ashokhid is HaPesach al HaChametz. Somebody who slaughters Karban Pesach while possessing Chametz, or while the owners of the Karban Pesach are possessing Chametz, overblow Tase, he's violating a prohibition. Rabbi Yudom Rabbuda says, Af HaTamid. If you slaughtered the Karban Tamid of the afternoon while owning Chametz, it's also this prohibition. It's also this prohibition. We'll see why in it soon. The sages said, no, lo Amru, Elo Pesach Levat. The sages disagree with Rabbi Yudom. They think this prohibition only applies to the Karban Pesach, but not to the Karban Tamid of the afternoon of Erev Pesach. Hey Masai, when is this prohibition happening? If the one slaughtering is the one who owns the chametz, or the zorik, the one throwing the blood, owns the chametz, or one of the owners of the Karban owns chametz. But if there's somebody else in the world somewhere who owns chametz, ein zakek lo, that's not a problem. This applies to the guy slaughtering, echad ha-zorik, and to the one throwing the blood, the echad ha-molek, and to the one doing the malika, echad ha-mazeh, and to the one sprinkling the blood, chayev, he's chayev. So here it says explicitly, echad ha-molek, the one doing malika on the bird also has the prohibition. That's a contradiction. First price said, aval ha-molek ha-sa'ov bar ba'asar, in over below klum. If you do malika while owning chametz, you don't violate anything. But here it says explicitly, if you do malika while owning chametz, you do violate. But if somebody on chalamoid, on Pesach, let's say, offers a mincha, and he takes the fistful out of the flour while owning chametz at home on Pesach, it overblows, say, it doesn't violate the prohibition. Prohibition doesn't apply to menachos. It's not called shchita. Hamakter sa'imurim, now the brisa goes further. It says if you throw the fats into the fire while owning the chametz, or while the owners of the Pesach own chametz, in overblow tase, you don't violate a prohibition. So brisa number two contradicts brisa number one on two fronts. It contradicts brisa number one on the question of malika, and it contradicts brisa number one on the question of haktara, throwing fats into the fire. So pasha malika, malika. So you have a contradiction whether you violate this law of Losishad al Chametz Dam Zivchi when you did Malika while owning Chametz. Price number one says you don't. Price number two says you do. Kasha Akhtar Akhtar. I have a contradiction about the question of whether you violate this prohibition when you throw flats into the fire while owning Chametz. Says the Gemara. Now, according to your logic, that these prices are a contradiction. Tikshilach hi gufa. Price number two itself is contradicting itself. So let's go back to price number two. Right, this is 1, 2, 3, 5 lines before the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Price number two was Hashochet es haPesach al haChametz over below Taseh. If he slaughters the Pesach while owning Chametz, he violates a lav. Rav Yehuda says even the Tamid, and they said no, only the Pesach, but not other Karbanos. And when is this true? When the Shochet or the Zorik or one of the owners owns the Chametz, but somebody else in the world doesn't, owning the Chametz doesn't impact us. And it's both Shochet, Zorik, Molek, and Maza, the one throwing the blood, who would be violating this prohibition. But Chomitzas HaMincha doesn't have the prohibition. So within his own price, you have a problem. Right? The Katani, it says, Lo Amru Elo BePesach Bulvad. It says this prohibition only applies to the Korban Pesach. Adar Tani, but then it says, Echra Shochet, this prohibition is violated for the slaughterer. Echra Zorik, the one throwing the blood. Echra Molek, or the one doing Malika. Is Malika Korban Pesach? Of course not. Malika is a bird. Can't have a Korban Pesach out of a bird. Yechra Maza. So what do you have to say? The whole Braisa is filled with contradictions. So what are you going to do? Right, Malika and throwing of the blood, Hazah, that is, these are all bird services. Of course, it doesn't apply to Korban Pesach. Ella, so the way to explain the Braisa, you have to say like this. Havaha, both Braisos are the view of Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah. So Rabbi Shimon holds that other karbanos, if you slaughter them while owning chametz on Erev Pesach, it's not a prohibition. But if you slaughter them while owning chametz on Pesach, that is the prohibition. So therefore, malika malika lokasha. There's no contradiction between the two brisos. Brice number one said there's no violation of losishchad al chametz dam zivchi on malika. And brice number two said there is a violation of losishchad al chametz dam zivchi if you own chametz while doing the malika. Not a contradiction. Kan barba asar. One is talking about an Erev Pesach. On Erev Pesach, then you only have the law of Losishchad al Chametz Dam Zivchi in regards to Korban Pesach. Kan b'chol shel moed, but on the Braisa number two, which says that you could have the violation of Losishchad al Chametz Dam Zivchi with Malika, that's referring to Chol HaMoed. On Chol HaMoed, then there could be a prohibition of Losishchad al Chametz Dam Zivchi for other Karbanos. Vidi vidi, Rib Shimoni, and really, both brisos, both the first brisa and the second brisa, are the view of Rib Shimoni. Now, Haktar Haktar Nami Lokash, the other contradiction. Brisa number one said that when the Kohen throws the fats into the fire, when somebody owns chametz, it's a violation. Brisa number two says that throwing fats in the fire is not a violation. So that, right? Over below Saseh. That's what price number two says. Throwing fats into the fire is not a violation while owning the chametz. Haktar, haktar, anami lo kash. It's also not a contradiction. Tanai, it's an argument amongst the Tanai. Zihika da makish haktar l'shchita. There are those who compare the throwing of the fat to shchita, as we said before, because there's a connection between lo yalin chelev chagi and lo sizbach al chametz dam zivchi, to say that which has lina has this prohibition of shchita, and in offering the fats, there is the concept you can't offer it too late, of lina, but then there is another opinion, that's price number two, who doesn't compare the two. The Torah only talks about lo sishchad al chametz dam zivchi, do not slaughter. It doesn't say lo taktir, doesn't say don't throw into the fire. And therefore, he says you are allowed to, I mean, not that you're allowed to, but if the Kohen throws things into the fire while people are owning chametz, that would not be this prohibition. All right, so in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said that this law that you're not allowed to, that the Torah says, you may not slaughter the Korban Pesach while owning chametz, applies also to the tamid of the afternoon of Erev Pesach. My time to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? Amalacha, he'll tell you like this. Since the pasuk says, Lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi, do not slaughter while possessing chametz the blood of my sacrifice. Zivchi, my sacrifice, is zevach, Hamiyuchad li, sacrifice devoted to me. My nihu, what is that? That's the tamid. The tamid is God's sacrifice. That's the thing that we're supposed to offer to Hashem. That Hashem calls it his lechem. Yes, please.
But Rabbi, I don't understand. The tamid sacrifice comes after the time where you're not allowed to own chametz anyway.
Correct.
So
that's the prohibition.
Why would there be an additional prohibition to the tamid korban if you still own chametz? That's a separate lab or a separate.
Yes, separate prohibition.
You're not supposed to own it anyway.
That's right. When you're not allowed to own chametz and you did the korban tamid, this is the wrong tamid. Yeah, this is a problem in the tamid. The tamid is now problematic because you didn't get rid of your chametz. Your pesach is problematic. So besides the problems that you have because of your owning chametz, but you have another problems now. You did a tamid in the wrong way. You did a person did the tamid the wrong way. You did the pesach in the wrong way. Also, you have to realize that you would not get lashes for possessing chametz, because possessing chametz is not an act. It's not an action. You just own it. You just didn't get rid of it. But here, there's a prohibition on the action. There's a prohibition of the slaughter. Don't slaughter while owning chametz. Don't, according to some, don't throw into the fire while owning chametz. So he'd get lashes for doing it. So that adds to the pressure on him to hopefully get rid of the chametz.
The Kohen is going to get the lashes.
The Kohen would get the lashes, right?
For the nice guy in the group.
Because the fellow who had still left his chametz around, the Kohen gets the lashes, right?
So you would get lashes if you do the tamid over chametz?
Right, because he's doing an action, he's slaughtering.
Guys, right? If you own chametz.
No, if he eats chametz. Somebody who eats chametz on Pesach gets kares. But owning chametz is a passive sin, so there's no penalty. Ein lokin alav she'ein bo masa. There's no lashes for a sin that is violated in passivity through not doing
not
something. Right, but that's the way the Rambam
says. The Pesach is kosher. The Pesach goes through.
So it is a kosher Pesach, but he did a sin. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, good. So Almog teaches us the Pesach goes through, even though the Kohen gets lashes for the slaughtering when it shouldn't have been slaughtered.
But then the Kohen gets lashes only if the other guy got a warning.
Right. It's very rare, as Phil pointed out. It's very rare to think that people who are obviously religious and they're offering the Korban Pesach are going to be so negligent and leave around chametz.
No, it's more that that's a good intention.
Right.
Because they have to be warned
about it. And they're right. Certainly have to be warned. If Shimon says this violation. It's a difference between Erev Pesach and on Pesach. So, says the Gemara, my time is Rabbi Shimon. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon? That he would have the prohibition of this prohibition of slaughtering with other karbanos during Pesach, but not on Erev Pesach. The answer is the Chsiv, because the Pasuk says, Zivchi, Zivchi, Tre Zimni. The Pasuk says twice the word Zivchi. Lo Sizbach al Chametz Dam Zivchi, and Lo Sishchat al Chametz Dam Zivchi. So it said the word Zivchi, my offering, twice. So Kribes, why did it say it twice? It's for the following. Take away one yud and put it with the other word. So you have Zevach and Zivchai, my sacrifices. So why did Hashem divide them from each other? The low cost of Zvachai, why didn't Hashem just say, don't slaughter my Zvachim? So the answer is like this. The name of the Seva is Madika Zevach. When there is the sacrifice, namely the Korban Pesach, Lo Machayev Azvachai, then you're only violating this law if you slaughter Korban Pesach while owning chametz. It's Mandaleka Zevach, but if it's after Erev Pesach, where we don't have the sacrifice of Korban Pesach, then Machayev Azvachai, during Pesach, one would be violating this law for all of God's sacrifices, as long as they are offered in a kosher way. So then the Mishnah said, what's a kosher way? The moed during Pesach, l'shmo, if you took the Korban Pesach and you slaughtered it, now it's not a kosher offering. So that you wouldn't have the violation for. But if you slaughtered other sacrifices, shelo l'shmam, not for their right sanctity, it would be a violation, except for Korban Chatas. Taima, says the Gemara, Taima de Shalom Lishma. Right, so why is it that this Karban Pesach is disqualified? Or when would the Karban Pesach, if you think of the Braisa, Mishnah, when would the Karban Pesach be qualified? Right, if he said explicitly it's for Shlama, Hastama, but if he didn't say anything, Pater, then it's a disqualified offering. He's slaughtering Pesach on Chol HaMoed Pesach. So that's just disqualified. Samai, why is that so? Why don't we say Pesach B'Shayim Os Hashana? Once the Karban Pesach is past Erev Pesach, Shlama Mavi, automatically it becomes a Shlama. So Shamit Mina, you see from here, the Mishnah doesn't believe with that. The Mishnah holds Pesach B'Shayim Os Hashana, Pesach after Erev Pesach, B'Yakira, to make it a Shlama, you have to uproot it from the status of Pesach. It's not enough just to slaughter it, you have to say, this is no longer Pesach, this is a Shlama. I'm Rav Chiya Bar Gamda. Rav Chiya Bar Gamda said, Nizra Kami Pi Chavura, he was thrown out from the group. But when they said, maybe it's not such a proof. It could be the case of this Mishnah, is the case of Rabbi Shimon, is Kagon Shayu Ba'alim Tmei Mace. Somebody buys a Karban Pesach. Let's say he buys it on the 10th of Nisan. And then he becomes Tmei Mace. So now he can't offer it on Erev Pesach because he's Tmei Mace. V'nitchim Pesach Sheni. So now everybody knows he's moving on to next month, to Pesach Sheni. So therefore, you might think that this animal is going to wait till Pesach Sheni. And therefore, Stamei L'shem Pesach Kai. Therefore, even without a declaration, it's assumed as a Pesach. Therefore, he has to have a declaration to make it not a Pesach. But maybe other Karbanos Pesach that just for whatever reason get missed and they weren't offered on Erev Pesach, where they're not standing for Pesach Sheni, they would perhaps automatically shift over to a Shlamim. And you don't need a declaration to shift them to a shlamim. Okay, next Mishnah deals with the actual procedure of offering the Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach. And as we'll see on Amud Beis, there were a tremendous amount of people. The Jewish nation, unfortunately, has really not grown in terms of its population. You know, I think today in the world they say what? There were 12 million, 16 million Jews? Because, I mean, they say 16 million, Hebrew University. Hebrew University says there are 16 million Jews in the world, but they count as Jews people who are not really Jews. You know, they call themselves Jews, they have a Jewish father, they identify as a Jews. But if you had the halachic definition of Jews, probably, I don't know, it's not that much. It's probably 10 to 12 million Jews in the world, sach hakol. We're going to see that in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, they had also the same amount of Jews, 10 million to 12 million Jews. So, you know, we're 2,000 years, and, you know, people have families. You know, it's not as if people only have families of two children. A lot of Jewish families are many more than two children. So you should be seeing a population growth, and basically there is no population growth. And that's because of anti-Semitism and because of assimilation. Okay, but I'm just saying, you'll see here in this Gemara that over the last several thousand years, we haven't really grown in terms of our population. So we'll see that soon. So now we'll talk about what happened in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Mishnah, Pesach nishchat b'shalosh kitos. The Karban Pesach would be slaughtered with three groups. Shenemar, and the reason for three groups is because the Pasuk says, v'shachtu also called Kahal Adas Yisrael. And they are to slaughter it the entirety of Kahal and Eda and Yisrael. So those three terms, community, collective, Israel, so called Veda of Yisrael, is to say that there should be three groups. So Nichta Sakata Rishona, the first group would come in with their Karbanos Pesach, Nismalo Ha'azara, and the courtyard would be filled, and then Na'alut Lasos Ha'azara, they would lock the doors of the courtyard, and Taku Heriru B'Taku, they would blow a Tzkiya, they would blow a Trua, and they would blow another Tzkiya. Now, what were the Kohanim doing? HaKohanim Omdim Shuro Shuros. The Kohanim were standing in rows. Ubiyadeim Bazichei Kesev Bazichei Zav. And in their hands they had receptacles made of silver and of gold. Shuro Shakula Kesev Kesev. There was one row, all silver receptacles. Shuro Shakula Zav Zav. Another row, all gold receptacles. Lo Hayumu Ravim. They would not mix the gold with the silver. Now, Lo Hayumu Bazichem Shulaim. These receptacles did not have a flat bottom, so that they shouldn't put it down. Because if you have a flat bottom, maybe they'd put down the receptacle with the blood, and the blood would congeal, and they wouldn't be able to throw it to splatter it onto the wall of the Mizbeach. All right, going back to the service. Shachat Yisrael. A non-Kohen could do the Shechita. Doesn't have to do the Shechita, but he could do the Shechita. The Kibil Kohen. Once you catch the blood, the Kohen has to catch the blood. So now we understand why they had the rose. No stone lechaver. He would hand it to his friend. Lechaver lechaver, and the friend to his friend. So the friend would take the full receptacle and pass back the empty receptacle. So it's going like this constantly. Then when they finally get it to the Kohen who is right next to the altar, Zorko's Rika Achas. He throws it with one throw. So he doesn't put his finger in and put it onto the wall. He throws it from the receptacle, splatters it directly onto the wall of the altar. Connected to Yisod, it has to be on one of the sides of the altar that has a foundation underneath it. Now, those are two sides. Yatzakat Rishona. Then the first group would walk out. Nechnasakat Shnia. Then the second group would enter. Yatzakat Shnia. When the second group would go out, Nechnasa Shlish is the third group would go out. Would go in. Kamaisa Rishona Kach, Maisa Shnia. Same way they did it for the first group. That's how they did it for the second group. Vashlish is and for the third group. Now, when they're doing this, Karasa Hallel. The people inside are reading Hallel. Im Gamru, if they finish the Hallel and there's still more Karbanas to be slaughtered, Shana, they would repeat it. Im Shana, if they did it a second time, Shalshu, they might even do it a third time. But it never really happened that they repeated the Hallel three times. Rabbi Yehuda says, and all the time that there was the third group would never even get to the words Ahavti within Hallel. Ahavti ki Yishma Hashem. Because there were very few in that third group. The way this procedure was done when Erev Pesach was a weekday, they would do the same procedure when Erev Pesach was a Shabbos. But only one other thing, the Kohanim on Shabbos, they would get frustrated. All the blood is on the floor of the Azara. The floor is marble. The blood is dirty. So they would actually do a sponge. They would block up the canal that was going through the Azara, so they have the water spill over to clean off the Azara. The Chacham were not happy about the cleaning that would go on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says, another thing that they used to do, the Kohen would take a cup filled with the mixed bloods that are on the floor and Zarko's Rika Achas al Gabi HaMizbeach and throw it onto the Mizbeach. I guess if there'd be a carbon that some of its blood would spill. So you pick up and that way at least some blood is going to go onto the Mizbeach. But again, the Chacham did not agree. Okay, so after they threw the blood of the carbon, they have to now clean the animal. How do they hang the animal and then skin it? They used to have hooks of iron in the walls and in the little pillars. They would hang on these hooks the animals and they would skin the animal. Now, they didn't have enough hooks. Anyone who didn't have space to hang his karban Pesach, they used to have maklos dakim v'chalakim ayusham. They used to have thin and peeled sticks there. Maniach hakevo, v'alkatev chaveiro. They'd lean it on his shoulder and on his friend's shoulder, the two edges of the stick, the tola, and he'd hang the animal umafshit and skin it. Rebbe says, now turning to Samachan Rebbe's, Yudal Shchalios b'Shabbos, if the 14th is on Shabbos, so we don't want to skin, we don't want to peel off the wood of these sticks because it looks like mamachik, scraping things off. The maniach yado al katev chaveiro. He would just put his hand on the shoulder of his friend, yad chaveiro al ktefo, and his friend's hand would be on his shoulder, the tola, and they would hang the animal on their arms, umafshit, they would skin it, karo, and they would tear it open, otziu es emurav, and take out the fats that have to be thrown onto the fire of the mizbeach. Nasan b'megis, they would put the fat into a bowl, and miktiran al gabi hamizbeach, and they would be thrown into the fires of the mizbeach. Yatzakat Yishona, the first group would exit the Beis Hamikdash on a Shabbos. V'yashvu b'harabayis, they would wait on the Temple Mount. And Shnia b'chel, the second group would also be waiting. A little bit closer, they would be waiting in that area between the Soreg and the Ezras Nashim. And Shlishis b'mkom omedes, the third group would just wait there in the Azara. And Chashecha, once it's night, Yatzu v'tzolos pischem, they go back to Yerushalayim, and they would roast their Korbanos Pesach and then eat them. Okay, Izzy has a question.
It saying is Misakat Rishonar Yatal, Yatzavir Yatal, Israeli, got into the Azara, they're not allowed to.
Right, they wouldn't eat it in the Azara. The Israelim would.
They can eat it in the Azara.
In the Ezrat Nashim. They could stand in the Ezrat Nashim. That's where they were standing. Okay, so now we're going to have Gemara about this procedure of the offering of the Karban Pesach. Amar Rav Yitzchak said, Eina Pesach Mishchad El B'Shalosh Kito Shel Shloshim Shloshim B'nei Adam. Karban Pesach is slaughtered in three shifts, three groups. Each group has to have at least 30 people. My time of why? Because on the one hand, you have the pasuk that says Kol and Eda, and it says Yisrael, v'shachtu oso, Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael. It says Kahal, it says Eda, and it says Yisrael. Nesafklam, we're not sure. Does that mean you have to have together at once Kol, Eda, and Yisrael? In other words, you have to have together 30, because Eda, we know, is always 10, so Kol is 10 and Yisrael is 10. Or Ibezacharzeh, what does it mean? You have to have 10, and then another 10, and then another 10. That's why you have to have three groups. Each group is 30 people. So that way, if it's supposed to be three groups at once, you had that. And if it's supposed to be three separate groups, you have that. If the idea of Kal, Eda and Yisrael is that the Kal is 10, Eda is 10, Yisrael is 10, and they're all together, you have it. And if it's B'Zacharzeh, and if it's supposed to be one after the other, you also have it. Hilkach, therefore, says the Gemara, since the whole reason of why you have to have 30 in the groups is based on the suffix that maybe Kol Eda Yisrael means it all at once, so you don't really need 90 people. You can have the Chamsha Nami Saga. You can have 50 people. You can have 30 people going in and offering their Korbanos Pesach. And then, as theirs are being offered, Aili Asara, 10 new ones will come in, Venafki Asara, and then 10 old ones will go out. So you started with 30, and then you had 40 for a moment, and then you went back to 30 because 10 left. So now again you have 30, and then another 10 leave, and another 10 come in. Aili Asar, another 10 come in, Benafki Asar, another 10 go out. And there you have a third shift. So you can have three shifts, each shift with 30 people, even though really it's a total of 50 people. All right, so the Mishnah said, Nichlas Akat Rishona, when the first group comes in and the Azara fills up, they would lock the doors. Actually, it's not clear who would lock the doors. Itmar, we learned, Abay Amar Ninalu Tznan. The way to read the Mishnah is that the doors would lock on their own. Rav Amar Noal Tznan. The way to read the Mishnah is that they would lock the doors. Ma Benai, what's the difference? Ika Benai, the question is, Mismacha Nisa, are people allowed to rely on miracles? Abay Amar Ninalu Tznan. Abay says that the doors would lock on their own. Kama the Ailu Ma'ali, as many people as could get in would go in. And then Samchinan Anisa, then we rely on a miracle that the doors would lock, and the bigger miracle that there'd still be other groups that would be able to fulfill the law, because we want to make sure that we have three groups. And Rav Amar Noal Intznan, the way to read the Mishnah is that they would lock, for lo Samchinan Anisa, not that we were relying on any miracle. Asks Gemara, what Samadin within the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Rita says in Masechta Edios, talking about how great Kavi ben Mahalal was. He said, Chas v'shalom shakavi ben Mahalal nisnada. How can you think that Akavi ben Mahalal was put into Cherem for being a little brazen? We know that the courtyard would not be closed, right, when they would lock the courtyard for the people bringing the Korban Pesach. They'd have masses of Jews in there. There'd be nobody as great as Akavi ben Mahalal. That's what he said. But the language that he uses is She'ein Azaran in Elis. The courtyard doesn't get locked on its own. It sounds like it gets locked on its own. So Abai Mataras Tamei, Abai will explain on his reasoning, Rav Mataras Tamei. Abai Mataras Tamei, Ein Ba'azar, there would be no one in the Azar, B'shosh Shanin Allah, at the time that it gets locked on its own. Al Kaladim B'Yisrael, when it gets locked on its own, there are many Jews there, there'd be nobody there who's great in Chachma and who's great in fear of God, fear of sin, like Akavya ben Mahalalel. Rav Mataras Tamei, Rav explained according to his reasoning, Ein Ba'azar, B'shosh Shanin Allah, in Osa, Al Kal Yisrael. There's no one in the Azara. Just change the language. Not there's no one in the Azara when it gets locked, but there's no one in the Azara when we lock it. And no one was there, b'chachmo b'yira, with such wisdom and fear of sin, ka'akavya ben ma'alala, like ka'akavya ben ma'alala. Then Rabbanim, we learned, and our sages taught us in a b'raisa, olam lo nismaich adam ba'azara. No one was ever trampled, pushed into the Azara. Too many people there. Except for one Karban Pesach, Hillel, in the days of Hillel, there was an elderly man who was crushed, and they called it the Pesach of the crushing. One time Agrippas the king wanted to see the Jewish population. That's what I mentioned before. So he told the Kohen Gadol, pay attention to the Karbanos Pesach. Let's count how many Karbanos Pesach there are, so that we will know how many Jews there are. So he took a kidney out of each one. It came out that there were 600,000 pairs of kidneys, right? So 600,000 pairs is 1.2 million. So kiflaim kiyotzi Mitzrayim, that's double the amount that left Egypt. Now, if you have 1.2 million animals, right? Because out of every animal, one kidney. And there are 1.2 million. First of all, there's some people who don't bring Korban Pesach. People who are Tamei, you have to wait for Pesach Sheni. People who are too far, right? Not everybody comes. People who are too far also are exempt from Korban Pesach. And every Korban Pesach has at least more than 10 people in it. So that means there were at least 12 million people in the Jewish community in Israel at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. Agrippa Samelach was one of the last leaders of the Jews at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. There were at least 12 million Jews. And today, there's still only 12 million Jews. We've gone 2,000 years, and basically our population in 2,000 years is flat. 12 million Jews. It's a crazy, crazy reality. What's that?
12 million is a minimum.
Right, 12 million then was a minimum. But also some today say we're 16 million, but it's still... It basically, we're flat in 2,000 years of population. No population growth at all in the Jewish nation, which is really, you see the power of Galus. Unbelievable. But you call it also, so they used to call it Pesach Mu'uvin, right? The thick Pesach. There's so many people. Look at my ass, just on the technicalities here. Not so cool, you took a kidney, a bayakturi, you have to throw the kidneys into the fire. Answers to other maktilu. He then threw them into the fire. One second. But the pasuk says, "Viktiro." You're supposed to offer it. You're not supposed to mix the fat of this animal with that animal. The other maktilu chalad v'chadi. He brought each one by itself. But I'm moving to the rise of viktiram shiyu kulam ke'echad. You have to bring the fats of this carbon together. You can't separate the kidney from, let's say, the fat of the stomach or other things. Ela tfisa ba'alma. What happens? The kohen gadol would lift up each kidney. The shakil minayu, he took the kidney out of the animal when they're taking the animal apart. And then somebody else saw the Kohen Gadol lifting the kidney, he puts down a stone. So they were really, what they're counting is not kidneys, they're counting stones. Anyway, 1.2 million stones representing the 1.2 million Korbanos Pesach, and every Korban Pesach's got at least 10 people. And you're talking about a population of 15, 20 million people at least. All right, Kohanim Omdim Shuros. The Kohanim would stand in rows with silver receptacles and gold receptacles. My time. Why would one row only be all silver and one row all gold? We're worried. If you're going to have some people with gold and some people with silver, so maybe the Kohen is going to hand over a gold one and take instead a silver one. And that would be a diminution of holiness. Maybe he's going to take one thing that weighs 200 and take and hand over one that weighs 200 and take one that weighs 100. Well, apparently, it just looks nicer. It looks nicer to have a row of all silver and a row of all gold. These receptacles did not have a flat bottom. All the receptacles in the base of Mikdash did not have a flat bottom. Except for the spoons that had the frankincense that went on the shulchan, shalechem apanim, because if they would be pointy, shem yanichem, you might put them into the lechem apanim loaves, we hear for shalechem, and that would break the loaf. Shalchet Yisrael v'kibbal ha-koin. The Yisrael would slaughter, and the coin would catch. L'sagid lav Yisrael. It has to be Yisrael doing the slaughtering? No, that's the point that we're teaching us. The slaughtering can be done by Yisrael. The Kibul HaKohen, but the Kohen has to catch the blood. HaKamash, when it tells you, Shemin Kabbalah Ve'elech, after the catching the blood, this Kohen has to be Kohanim. Nosan L'Chaveiro, he gives it to his friend gives it to his friend. You see from here, Olacha Shalom Beregel, Havi Olacha, that when you transmit the blood over to the altar, even without walking it, it's also okay. The Gemara says, maybe not. Toma Hu Naid Purta, maybe he would move a little bit. What's the Chiddush? HaKamash Malan. The Chiddush is you want to have a lot of people involved, because Barov Am Hadas Melech, the more people involved in doing, serving God, the greater the glory for the Almighty. Kibbutz Samali, he would get in his hand the receptacle filled with blood, and Mazir Sarekin would return the receptacle that was empty. Avalib Chalo, but the opposite order not. It's a proof to Rishim Lakish, to Amr Rishim Lakish, when you have a chance to do the mitzvah that you do first. In Mavir and all mitzvahs, you can't walk by a mitzvah opportunity that comes your way. The Kohen next to the Mizbeach would throw it onto the Mizbeach. Mantana Pesach Mizviku, who's the one who says that the blood of the Pesach was thrown on and not touched on. Amr Abchizer, Reb Yossi Aglili, it's Reb Yossi Aglili, the Tanis went in the Rice, Reb Yossi Aglili, Omer. The Pasuk says, Damam Tizrok al Mizbeach, Ves Chalbam Taktir. Doesn't say Damo, Lo Ne'amar, it says Damam. Doesn't say Chalbo, it says Chalbam. Limit al Bechor, Meiser, U Pesach. So Damam, their blood, namely the Bechor, the Meiser Behema, and the Karban Pesach. They also have to be placed their blood and their insides onto the Mizbeach. And since it says, yes, the Mam Tizrok, it means you have to throw the blood. You know, to Nisod, how do we know it has to go on the sides of the Mizbeach that have a foundation underneath it? Amr Belazar, Asya, Zvika, Zvika, Tzegzeir Shava, from the word Zvika, from the Olak, Sevach, it says over here, Es Damam Tizrok, Ala Mizbeach, Luk Sevasam, it says over there, Saviv. So my Ola, just like the Ola has to be on the sides of the Mizbeach that have a foundation, a Pesach Nami Tuni Yisod, the Pesach has to be on the sides of the Mizbeach that have a foundation. Ad Kan, Daf Sama Dalet. Thank you.